Hello, listeners. It's Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to the Course of Course episode 23. It's been a while. We took a weekend off. I went back to Cincinnati to meet with my folks. And you did some very interesting things, Stephanie. So why don't we talk about your visit to the bookstore in Venice.
To see Gary.
Right.
At the Mystic Journey bookstore on Abbot Kinney.
So how was that?
A Monday night. It was packed. There was people overflowing. He was wonderful. He spoke for over 2 hours.
That's very generous.
He was very concise and great at a visual of the overall of the Course of Miracles. You know, the separation, the projection, the movie. He did the Song of Prayer, which just made my heart melt.
That's your favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting when I first saw him. I could tell he was, you know, how he has nervousness a little bit sometimes. I think he was just kind of getting into his space. Cindy wasn't there, so maybe that was a little bit different as well.
Well, best wishes to Cindy. I think she wasn't feeling well, right?
Yes, she has a voice box.
Mm. Well, we all do.
But they're all at ACIM.
Oh, yeah, the big
but they're all
conference
in New
York City.
Mm-hmm.
We wish we could have gone.
We do.
But we'll be there next year, right?
We'll just teleport like Art and Persa.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Next year, Vegas, baby.
Is it really next year? I thought it was 2 years.
I hope it's
next
year.
Is it every other year?
I have no idea.
We don't know. We're so new to this.
I tried to book the hotel already.
Wow, you're all over it.
But they're 11 months out, so it wouldn't work.
What's the hotel?
What, I don't know. They didn't announce it yet. I think they wanted this weekend to happen.
Oh, I see.
But just, you know, using my points, whatever hotel I can get free hotel, then that's the one we're staying at.
All this administrative stuff.
That's right.
Let's get back to Gary's talk. So there were a lot of people there, and he basically just gave his story about you.
Yes, he did. Well, mostly he was doing an overview about the course, like everything about the course. And I was surprised he didn't speak more about DU, actually, or all three books. He is working on a fourth book that's going to have examples
now
of different people
exciting.
Who have transcended and what their forgiveness lessons were. And they'll just be wonderful.
I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just makes it more approachable to me.
Yes, to have an example other than Jesus, which I didn't realize until I've been rereading to you, that he was the first one who actually made it all the way.
That's amazing. I didn't pick that up either. Was that in the book? How'd you learn that?
I read that in the pages.
Oh, perhaps I should reread it.
Yeah.
I've only read this thing like 25 times now.
It might be like chapter 3, one
it's
of those really
fascinating,
long ones.
Fascinating, right? When you read this over and over again, you always pick up something new.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it keeps rewriting itself.
Yeah, because our layers are coming off.
Yeah, our layers of the onion are peeling away.
We're not making it real.
Exactly. So were there a lot of questions to Gary?
There was no questions, really.
There were no questions.
No, I mean, he spoke past the 2 hours. The person in the front row made a comment. I don't remember the question, but it was, what are you working on next? Maybe that was it. It was wonderful.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it's very generous of Gary to have done that. I mean, he's obviously a very busy person, and he's got a lot going on. But I think I've heard over and over again that Ken Wapnick was the greatest Course in Miracles teacher, which I totally appreciate. I've been watching some of the YouTube videos of Ken Wapnick. I think he is pretty amazing. But I also like that Gary is out there. To me, Gary's, you know, he's top notch.
Well, he travels so much. He really is a force of getting the course out there,
right?
And properly told from the base or whatever.
Like, he is one of the premier teachers, I think, of the course. Certainly,
yeah,
currently
agree.
Walking on earth in third
and
dimension
Cindy.
Dreams. Oh yeah, Cindy, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fascinating. We hear a lot about Gary because he's the author of the books, but Cindy blows me away every time I hear her talk.
And what he did on Monday night was nothing that I've ever seen in the workshops.
Hmm.
So it was just him, you know, doing this amazing overview of the course.
That's really something to have anybody sit there for a couple hours and just talk. I mean, when you think about that.
He's a master. And the way he looked at the end was not even, he softened. He had this glow. He was radiating. You could see that the spirit was moving through him.
You had said that he looked younger when he was finished.
Yeah. 20 years maybe. I don't know.
Well, we need to start talking about the course. That could definitely help our complexions.
Yeah.
All right. So last week, unfortunately, I couldn't make that, but I was back in Cincinnati visiting my family. And one of the things I did do is attend a psychic fair. It was called the Angel of Light Fair, and it was huge in Cincinnati, which is really kind of heartwarming because I grew up in that town. I wouldn't call it the most advanced kind of spiritual area. So I was like, well, maybe I have judged it too harshly. So it's nice being back in that energy. I've always loved those things. I love like fairies and witches and whatever. But what struck me was I felt like I was back in time, like 20 years, like around the time when we first met, and we were so excited about going to psychic fairs and meeting up with readers and all that kind of stuff. And this time it was a different experience for me. I mean, I totally appreciated it and I love the energy, but I felt like I had kind of passed that. That was a lovely time in my life, but I've sort of moved in a different direction.
Yes, thank goodness.
Yeah, there were people there that were just beginning to become fascinated in kind of like the other side and transcendence and the new age concepts. So it was nice seeing that energy, and I'm really thrilled that my hometown had such a huge psychic fair representing them. Really stunned by it, because when I went with my sister, who one might say has some psychic gifts, she's always had psychic gifts, so it was nice spending time with her and experiencing that. It was also just great to kind of revisit where I came from, I think, not just from the city, but also kind of spiritually. It was a lovely time, and I'm so glad I did it. I don't know if I have to do it again, but it was nice being around people who were just fascinated.
Questioning,
exactly. So my sister got her aura photo taken, and we remember years and years ago that happening. Totally. And thinking it was so cool. Well, it's still happening, and they're still using Polaroids, I think.
It's probably the same photo booth from back then.
And probably it just travels around the country.
Yeah, they got to make their money back.
Well, one of the other things that I really loved being back home is I keep getting opportunities, and I'm so blessed by this, to clean up my, I don't know, what would I call it, my experience, and see if I can get through some forgiveness lessons of myself with my family. So that was really a lovely time. I spent quality time with my father. I think getting a little older and becoming slightly wiser, so much more gentle in how I'm viewing him. It's very easy when you're a child or even an adult child to blame your parents for not doing something or not being there or behaving in a certain way. And it's nice through the course to be able to kind of shed that and start seeing him as a holy being, which I never did before. It was never just part of my consciousness to do so.
That's beautiful.
It really has been. I mean, I'm so grateful that I've been experiencing these opportunities to kind of clean up that space with my father and my family. I don't know if I would have been there if had I not approached the Course in Miracles, had I not been more open to it. So, you know, thank goodness for Gary and Cindy and Alex and Mikey and all the fantastic people.
Brainwashing.
They kind of shepherd me through this process.
Definitely. I mean, coming from the point of view of the Holy Spirit and seeing how the ego is just making all these stories happening.
Right.
It makes it, I don't know, understandable or something. Like, well, there's more grace there or something.
There's more grace. I like that. Yeah, there's more grace. One of the common themes that we both have experienced is our work environment. So how has your work been the past couple of weeks?
I would say pretty good. I mean, it's been super, super busy. And, you know, there was another instance when somebody said something to me that was like, you did not just say that. And I had to call them on it because that's my ego. I know it. But it's just like, come on, people. I'm the person that makes sure nothing bad happens, you know? So it's like, I'm really detail oriented, and I was basically told this was not my area.
So when you said you called them on it, how did that work out?
Very easily, because it was in the moment and it was more like a correction. And I just kept moving. You know, I wasn't making them wrong. It's just like, by the way, no, you know.
Good for you, because I think some people get caught up on that. Like, how do I correct them? And what do I say? And how are they going to react? So I like that you're doing it in the moment. It feels good that it's like, okay, well, here, this is what happened. And this probably could be handled a different way, addressing it and letting it go.
I am really trying to practice right now. And I was talking to my friend today when we were taking a walk out by the park overlooking the ocean. Of now, just being really in the now, trying to slow things down a little bit and forgive whatever comes up in my face in the now.
You are pretty amazing. I can say for my week, I wouldn't say it was delightful, but man, am I starting to feel a super difference in my work environment, and it's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's all me. You know, like, I think everybody else is playing out their roles the way I cast them. But for me, a couple instances happened where it really did ruffle my feathers from an ego perspective. And I almost replied back with some flaming email. And I just stopped myself. And it's like, look, what is the point of that? You're just going to create some sort of drama that you don't need. So I took some time. And when I replied back, I just took the high road. And although it didn't satisfy my ego, it satisfied my spirit. And every day it's kind of like, all right, even though like you experience somebody in your face, it's taking less. I'm not saying it's easy for me at all, but it's taking less and less power for me to just ignore it. Ignoring used to seem like I was being weak and letting people run over me. And I don't see that at all. It's like, whatever.
Are you actually giving it over though? Are you forgiving this illusion over to the HSJ?
Well, the answer is yes, but not overtly. I'm not saying, okay, HSJ, I'm turning this over to you. I'm not doing it in that way. I think it's just kind of quiet.
It's working behind the scenes.
It's working behind the scenes.
That's what
right?
they do on the higher level of our minds.
Right. But the one thing that really struck me this weekend is I went to a funeral of a coworker I really don't know very well. I mean, we've been in the same orbit at work, and we've certainly been in some meetings together. But her husband met with an untimely death. I guess all of them are. I don't know. He was riding his bike home at night, and he was two blocks from his house, and he was struck by a car and killed immediately. So I thought, well, I'm not a huge fan of funerals, but I just wanted to at least spend some time there and attend it. Even though I don't really know her that well, I just wanted to show up. I remember when my mother passed away, it was just so lovely that people just showed up. They didn't have to say a thing to me. So I thought, okay, I'll be present there. So I went around the time it started. So I was kind of in the back of the church. This was at a massive, beautiful church called St. Monica's in Santa Monica. And I was probably in the last five rows. But I got to tell you, I've never met her husband, but I cried so much. And it wasn't because I was sad. Obviously, I didn't have that experience. I was struck by how much love this man had. He had, I don't know, like six or eight pallbearers. And apparently, they had been friends for some time. He passed when he was 45. And he had some of these friends since grade school. And they were just torn up by it. And his older brother and his brother's older brother's wife gave the eulogy. And it was just so lovely and so sweet and so, I don't know, transcendent. At the end, everybody started clapping. I've never seen that reaction at a funeral. People started clapping.
Did they stand up?
No. But, you know, everybody was in tears. And again, I'm sure there was sadness there, but it was just, there was so much love.
Like there was a joyous love or
yes,
something.
Yes. Like I've never experienced that in a funeral ever. This man was so loved. I mean, there was like 300, 400 people in that church. And all they did was talk about how important he was to them.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, he did it right. He did it right.
Yeah, to have that kind of meaning. He was a great symbol. And it makes me think of, wow, what would it be like if 300 or 400 people thought of Jesus or the Holy Spirit or whatever?
Well, it was interesting. The priest actually said, I recognize the fact that you're saying that, you know, this is an untimely death, and I completely agree. The reality is we just had a mass a couple weeks ago, and there was a similar situation where there was a young man who passed away, extremely untimely death. He was 33, and his name was Jesus Christ. So, okay, bringing it back to Jesus. Right. But I just felt so privileged to be in that space. And I had said in my mind to his name happened to be Brian, I know I've never met you while you were in body, but I'm so thrilled that I get the opportunity to meet you in spirit.
Wow. What a profound, moving experience.
Yeah. We had talked before about how we would like to exit. Mm-hmm. And I thought it's not so bad that Brian kind of used this script to kind of have it immediately, like done.
How wild that everything is scripted and that was in his script.
Yeah. And we had talked earlier about, you know, it's strange. We can't exactly say things that we really mean, because what I wanted to say to his wife was, good for him. I'm so glad he was ever to, like, you know, go on and meet the Holy Spirit Jesus that we keep praying to every day. And he just did it.
He just exited.
Yeah. So It was a very interesting couple weeks, I think. I could definitely feel myself changing. I feel myself being much quieter just in who I am.
What do you think shifted? Like, what do you think? Did you do anything different? Did your thought shift in a certain way?
I really think going home shifted me. Mm-hmm. I think there was something about flying back to Cincinnati and being in a space with my father and recognizing him for something other than being my dad. I mean, he's my dad in this lifetime, but I think we've known each other for many, many.
It's the oneness. I think it's accepting the oneness.
Maybe it is, yeah. It just felt so calm and peaceful in a way. It was just nice, honestly, to be with my dad, to be with my sisters, to just kind of breathe in the air of, you know, my hometown and kind of come to grips with it, because I've always felt like Cincinnati, although lovely to grow up, there was parts of me, certainly in my high school and college years, I just felt depressed. So when I would go back to Cincinnati, I remember feeling that. It's still there, I'm not gonna lie, but it felt a little better, at least being around these humans that I had spent so much time with and seeing them in a different light.
It's like a completion. Something's been healed. It's a healing is what it is. It's a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an absolute miracle. It's a Course in Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing I was talking to you about is this psychic fair that's in Cincinnati. I would love for us to be able to give a talk. There were so many talks there. But what surprised me at this massive psychic fair is there was not one talk on Course in Miracles. There was not one booth talking about it either.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I thought, well, if we both do this and give a talk, I wonder what kind of audience we would have.
I don't know, because I don't know if we would sound like crazy people since they don't have a context. If they had read DU and pre-paved it for us, then we wouldn't, you know, might land.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want my ego to get in front of me and be like, oh, I'm going to tell everybody the Course in Miracles and they're going to completely fall in love with it. You're
but
right.
But then, you know what, seeing Gary speak on Monday night, how concise, you know, even though he spoke for 2 hours and 15 minutes or whatever, he really laid out the course. I mean, he's got it down.
I think he is a master walking on the earth right now.
He is. Yeah, both him and Cindy.
Yeah. Absolutely. I would love to start talking about the Course in Miracles to a broader audience, but I think you made a good point. I mean, if people don't have context, it's going to sound a little nuts.
Yeah, I mean, we could write a script and we could make it sound, you know, a little more digestible.
Well, I think Marianne Williamson has done a really good job of making it digestible.
I don't know. I've been getting emails from her every week and it seems very...
Seems a little more political, I think.
Yeah, I mean, this week it was like relationships, a couple weeks ago. Definitely more into politics. She's doing her own events and things. Mm-hmm. She's amped up. I'm not sure why all of a sudden.
Well, maybe that's her script.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to see some change from the political sphere. But I got to say, I could care less.
Well, I just feel like I got the lesson from Gary. Thank you. You know, and I'm pretty sure it was DU when Art and Impersa were talking to him about disengaging from stuff. And that's what I've been doing. So I feel like it helps my mental mind. And since I feel like this is a mental self-discipline journey, I got to watch my thoughts. Like, I got to protect myself, whether it's a bad TV show, which I'm not going to spend my time on.
Well, what do you mean by a bad TV show, like reality television?
Like I don't want, you know, sorry, but I don't watch The Walking Dead with the zombies or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the vampire things, like anything too politically hot, I'll fast forward through. You know, I had all the Gotham shows recorded and they're artistic. I appreciate that. They're very cinematic. They're well written. Like, everything about it's great. But I just thought, you know what, I can't spend my time watching this stuff.
I just feel like I'm more interested in watching movies or television shows about winemaking.
Exactly.
Or about spirituality. I mean, that's pretty much my interest these days.
Let me see here. I was going to say that I actually looked at my calendar, I think it was on Friday, for the coming up week. And I said, okay, I got something on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but wow, I don't have anything on Thursday. So I put myself in my own calendar for the first time. In ages.
So you gave yourself Stephanie time.
I did. I'm still struggling with this. I'm asking people now, like, how do you re-energize? What do you do? What do you do? I'm just starting to talk to people about it a little bit.
Well, one of the big things in my life that has changed is I'm now having a work from home day.
That is so wonderful.
It is lovely.
You're really lucky.
It's so nice to wake up and not have to worry about getting, you know, yourself together and getting to the office and going into
the drive.
Yeah.
The commutes are so bad here. Don't ever move to LA, anybody.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. No, we love seriously. LA people. But it's just, it's been such a lovely kind of option that I am now using. And it really helped me. It's keeping me out of kind of like the political soup that I am in every day, kind of in a huge office environment.
Yeah.
So it's nice being able to like just be centered with myself and my cat for one day a week.
Exactly. And if you want to like do the laundry in the background or clean the bathroom, you know, one less thing to have to do on the weekend.
Yeah, I feel like I can be more effective multitasking on stuff that makes sense to me personally.
Yeah, like you don't have to compete for the laundry room because it's the middle of the week. My cousin also takes off every Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think a four-day work week would be really good if we could do the fifth day at home. That would be awesome.
I think it's nice to break up the week. So Monday, Tuesday in their office, Wednesday get a little break, and then it's Thursday and Friday.
I was just thinking back to Gary's talk and how he said when he was living in Maine writing the book that he had no idea what was going to happen, you know, before it had gotten big, but he had met the fearless bookman, they did everything 50-50. I didn't know that.
Oh, so they both put in 50%?
Yeah, of the money and the profits, which is great. I'm glad he's making money. Thank you for writing is what I have to say. It's a labor of love.
I know, absolutely.
And it shifts us on big levels. He was saying he just had no idea that 3 years later, his whole life would be a 360. He'd be living in California. He'd be closer to Hawaii. He'd be traveling all around the world to places he never imagined. Imagine was possible. And his whole life got better. Yet up until that point, it had always been kind of a life sucks and it's never going to turn out. And I feel like that's still running me in the background.
The life sucks part?
Yeah. Like, you know I have some nice things. Like I know I'm living in a big city and I make a decent salary and I get to drive a hybrid car and I get to garden. Like I appreciate things, but I still feel like it's kind of sucky. And then I meet people and I hear about their life and it's pretty sucky. You know, like there's always stuff going on. And I just am getting present to that ego uses all of it to distract us. It's separation because we're so obsessed thinking about it instead of thinking of God. So I feel like I need to keep meditating and building that bridge back to God. But the Forgotten Song is very helpful to me. And it was really great to hear Gary not only say that, talk about how life sucks and how it can turn out. And I think it's because of that bridge that we're building with the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Like, they're going to make things turn out in great ways than we could ever imagine. And if I can imagine and hold on to that instead of the life sucks part, then I'd be also willing that into being, I guess, in a way.
I so agree. It's almost like the universe is stacked for us, not against us. The universe is there for us to transcend. It's not there for us to stumble. We are the ones that stumble.
Yeah, the mind, the split, the fractions, the crazy. That's just kind of how it always is. So when these cultural events are happening, whether it's ISIS or young kids or whatever the situation is, like when I was speaking with my friend today on our little hike, I just realized like I do have to disengage and it is starting to disappear. And there's nothing wrong with that.
It is what it is.
I feel like it's bigger than me. I can't stop GMOs. Like I can't.
Well, it's sort of like, do you really want to focus on that stuff?
No.
It's the same as focusing on the other stuff. I mean, the reality, the only thing is real
peace.
Is God.
I want peace. That's all I want.
I agree. I want peace too.
And I feel like it's being repeated in my lessons and in my texts. And I've been listening to the old man in the car do the text.
We love the voiceover guy for The Course in Miracles. We
he
need
is
to
God.
Find who he is.
His voice is.
Who is he?
I don't know who
Listeners,
he is. I might
please
be able to
let us
him
know
up.
Who's the voiceover for the Course in Miracles audio.
But it's good to hear it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very comforting.
It is.
Well, on that note, it's been so much fun to get back on the mics for the Course of Course episode 23. We will definitely be back for Course of Course episode 24 next week. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Thank you, listeners, and have a great week.
Bye.